Hello, Beauty News family. Welcome to our February Beauty Makeup Release Recap thing.
Top 10. We're top 10. A week late.
Yeah.
Oopsie-daisy. So we forgot about it last week.
It we
is
did.
What it is. But essentially, this is a video where we go through and talk about the things that are arguably most interesting that launched in the past month. So last month was Feb. And we're only talking about things that did launch in that month because it makes it so much easier to sort of narrow down the month. Sometimes people are like, oh, but I was really excited about this. And it's like, yeah, but that technically launched in like March or Jan or whatever it is. It's just easier to contain it to what actually launched that month. So we're just going to go through stuff really quickly. These are sort of interesting things for possibly good and bad reason. You don't have to like them all. Some of them are trash. Some of them have drama associated with them. But let's start with possibly one of the biggest releases that did also disappoint people. Mm. So we had the ColourPop and Sailor Moon collection that launched. And, you know, ColourPop did Disney and Disney princesses and whatnot. And, you know, they're collaborations that were pretty strong. But Sailor Moon is something that people have loved for decades as well. And seeing this sort of sneak peek, people were losing their mind. There was some cool stuff in here. There were lip duos. There was a palette, two blushes, Glitterally Obsessed shades. But what pissed people off with this, which I totally understand, is that if you're international, this probably launched at some obscure time for you. For us, it was 4 a.m. Mm. And they didn't tell people before it launched that it was exclusive to some countries.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of countries that were excluded, and it's probably because of they didn't want to buy the rights to, you know, sort of sell it everywhere. That becomes a lot more expensive. But there are a lot of people that were refreshing pages, trying to get it to work, not knowing why it wasn't working. And it was simply because
it wasn't available to them in your country.
Yeah, so they should have been a lot more upfront with that. But yeah, it sold out super fast and people were super excited about it. So that was probably one of the most exciting things of the month.
Mm. Jeffree Star launched his Bloodlust collection. So this consisted of a Bloodlust palette. Then we had some liquid lipsticks and mirrors, merch, stuff like that. I think people were a little bit disappointed that it wasn't purple enough.
Yes.
Probably didn't meet their expectations of what a purple palette called Bloodlust would represent. And also we'd been seeing some, some imagery related to sort of sneak peek the launch, and it just didn't really hit the mark.
I think for a palette that was sort of coming into a pretty strong collection, so you had the Blood Sugar, the Blue Blood, and now this purple one, I think had high expectations and then were a little bit like disappointed. But then again, this actually didn't sell out as fast as I thought it was going to sell out.
No.
His past collections, they get wiped off the shelf. Whereas I was looking at these just out of curiosity for potential destroying action. And there were multiple sites that were still available at.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that just shows that I think this sort of missed the mark a little bit.
Yeah.
Some people are really loving it. If you love a sort of soft tone purple, people think this is great. But yeah, it was a bit of an unusual one. I feel like we're starting to see cracks in the Jeffree Star sort of can do no wrong sort of thing. Like, because he's done a lot of wrong, but a lot of people forgive a lot of what he does.
Yeah, in terms of his makeup, people stan him.
Yeah, they do. And so I feel like we're starting to see that he's just missing the mark a little bit, which I thought was interesting. So,
well, nothing lasts forever.
That's true. One sort of indie release that a lot of people were super excited for. So the new Sugar Pill Capsule Collection, this is the C1. So it's an eyeshadow, pressed pigment, and blush palette. For some reason, a lot of people absolutely love this.
I think it's just a bit different.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, you know, we've seen palettes with, you know, weird layouts and stuff before, but I think this one is just, kind of makes sense why they've got the weird layout.
Yeah, fits with the brand.
Yeah, it fits with the brand. So I think it was just like a perfect storm to make this work out. Because usually stuff like this, like the beauty community, we're not here for it. We're like, take your weird shaped pants and fuck right off.
Yeah, but people were just chomping
they were
a
into
bit
it.
For it.
Yeah,
and yeah, we've in beauty news we talked about the C2, so the second one that's coming out. So this is going to be something that we see a lot more of. But yeah, people absolutely loved it. What I personally loved, which is shows how bland and boring I currently am. Is the Too Faced Born This Way, the Natural Nudes palette and their highlighting palettes, which were like trios. This launched, it is the most nude, basic bitch palette. I fucking love it. There's something about it that I'm just like...
I love it too.
There's, it sort of has done a nice split between mattes and shimmers. It goes gradating from light shades through to sort of cooler tone nudes, warmer tone nudes, brown nudes. Something about it that I absolutely love. Highlighter palettes, like a few people were very confused by why you need a whole palette of one shade. I love the fact you can get different
textures.
Yeah.
I hate that like every time we talk about this, we have to be like, they're different textures. They're different textures.
Yeah.
So much better than like... Neapolitan, white, pink, too dark.
Yeah.
Like, for me. But then if someone of colour buys it, they're going to be like, there's one pan I can use.
Yes.
And the others are wasted.
Yeah.
Whereas it's the same if I buy it. There's, like, usually one pan that I can use.
Yeah. I'm sick of having a palette that has multiple colours in it and I really only reach for it for one shade.
Yeah.
And then if I only reach for it for one shade, it sits in a drawer and I actually just reach for a single. So
at least this is, like...
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's a twist on something that is already done. You find a highlighter shade that... Like, if there's not one that you like there or it doesn't suit your skin tone, fine. You're definitely not going to be into it. But if you do like, say, the fairest one, and sometimes you do like a really, like, glowy, blingy highlighter, or some days you just want something nice and subtle for the office, or you're going out and you want something glittery.
Yeah.
Like, I know personally, I've gone through all of the stages of the highlighters. Like... Give me soft and subtle. Give me glowy and radiant. Give me that like sparkly shimmer. I think we all like we chop and change throughout the year with what we like. In this case, you can wear all the colors.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it as well. And I do agree with you. I think also how much highlighter I wear or the finish that I go for depends on my mood. It depends on the occasion. Depends on the makeup I'm wearing. If I'm wearing something bold, I pare down the highlighter. If I'm wearing something super nude, I might bling it up a little bit more because you can bling up the skin. And I really like the fact that, you know, if you find a tone that works for you, you've got different finishes. So I think that's a really good concept. I want to see more brands do something like that. The next thing that probably didn't sell as well as I like or that probably everyone expected, the Jaclyn Hill Morphe Palette Volume 2. So this came, it was accidentally sneak peeked, as I usually are. Fucking hell. And it is still around. You can still get it. I think it's the first, maybe besides the Manny MUA collection.
Maybe, yeah.
One of the first, most recent collabs that just hasn't sold out.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really interesting. We did destroy these. Some of the shades are actually really beautiful.
I still kind of want this palette, but I said in that video I want it in a mini. And I'm not kidding. Like, I'm not going to buy it. If it comes in a mini, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, I'm not buying it. And, like, I know if it comes in a mini, people are going to rage. Like,
yeah.
I get it. Because I was so, like, when they brought out the James Charles one followed by a mini, I was like, it should have fucking been a mini the whole time.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
And I think, honestly, I think all Morphe large palettes should just be in that mini form. Considering how many shades you're getting in there, how long it takes to use up an eyeshadow pan, like... Just make them minis.
Yeah. And some of the shades they put in here aren't shades that you're going to wear on a daily basis.
Correct.
They're sort of like statement colours that you're going to reach for once
in
a blue moon.
Like, don't get me wrong, I want it. Like, I do
There's
want it.
There's some cool colours in there.
I really do want it, but I want it small.
Yeah. See, I really like some of the colours here. They're not colours that I personally wear a lot of. Corals and pinks make me look quite ill. And there are so many redundant shades. So we did talk about this. We swatched some side by side, and you can see that pretty much the sort of nude mattes all look very similar. The nude shimmers all look very similar. Some of the berries all look very similar. So there are some cool colors in here. I know why sort of, if you buy this, I totally understand why.
Yeah.
And I think if you see it in person, it's a lot more impressive than if you see it in photos. So,
and when you swatch it, even more so, you start to see the really beautiful colors.
Yeah. All right, editing cat here. One thing that we forgot to talk about is a little bit of drama around the original Morphe Jaclyn Hill palette. So we don't like to talk about drama in beauty news episodes, but it's sort of good to use these sort of recap videos as a way to talk about the response from releases, because when we're talking about beauty news, we like to keep it about releases, and also we generally talk about them before they're released, so we don't get a chance to talk about what's happened afterwards. Anyway, what happened with the original Jaclyn Hill palette was that Morphe reformulated it and didn't announce it, which on the face of it is not a big deal. Brands do this all the time. They often update formulas to make products better, or if ingredients are no longer available or have been updated by the manufacturer, they have to tweak sort of ingredients of products. So this is not really something that's news in itself, but it is worth mentioning because the original formulation for the palette was vegan, whereas this one now isn't vegan. So if you are vegan and you wanted to buy the original Jaclyn Hill palette, check the ingredients, because the old ones are technically vegan and the new ones now contain carmine. So yeah, the change of ingredients in itself isn't a big drama, but it is pretty sucky that they have changed it from being vegan to not vegan. Really quickly, we saw MAC Maker for 2020. So this is where MAC takes a bunch of makers, influencers, artists, in this case, a Barbie style Instagram account, whatever, and they create custom lipsticks for that person or that account, essentially. And this came out this year.
Fuck, man, an Instagram account can be a MAC Maker.
How did a Barbie account go to Canada and formulate a lipstick colour, I wonder?
That's a good question, just Instagram.
Or MAC. Like, what the heck? So in past years, this has been probably a much bigger deal than it has been this year. You know, generally, if you've got an influencer or YouTuber or Instagram or a makeup artist that you are really passionate about, a lot of people get behind that creator and they buy their lipsticks. This year, I think they, for our market anyway, the most exciting ones were probably Pixie Woo Sisters and Hindash. A lot of them seem to be makeup artists from the Middle East, which is totally fine. That's clearly a big audience for them, or big customer base. But I feel like this year it wasn't as like
they hyped. Released so many of them too.
Yeah, and it just sort of flooded all at once.
Yeah,
and it was weird because they sort of, some influencers were sneak peeking it early, others didn't say boo about them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to get all the information. Then all of a sudden it was like up on every website.
Yeah.
All the shades.
And so, apparently in Australia they want to promote the Barbie one.
Yeah, because they didn't actually hook us up with an influencer this year. Whatever. So yeah, it was a bit of a weird one. I feel like this is a cool concept, but I feel like it's dying off.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I'm getting. Yeah. Last couple of years, a lot of people were way more excited than they were this year.
Yeah. Milani released a collaboration collection with Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
So this consisted of two lip kits, which contained a lip pencil and a lipstick, and then two eyeshadow palettes that look like CDs when you open them up. This was a pretty cool collection, and I think very, very relevant to the collaboration.
Yeah, I agree. I think this was one that, you know, it's not going to be for everyone. I think Salt and Pepper, like, they were out in the 80s and 90s, so I feel like you're just going to get some old ducks like us that are like, Yay! Yeah.
But even then, like, okay, so I was born mid-80s, but I, like, the only salt and pepper songs that I was old enough to really know
were the
ones that, like, were on the radio.
Yep.
But even then, like, I wasn't really old enough to be super ingrained in what they do.
No, absolutely
not. So I feel like this is, like, I feel like the market of people who would be most interested in this...
People in their
40s.
I agree.
So, like...
And is that Milani's demographic?
Well, that's a good question, B1. Yeah. Is it?
That's the thing I find interesting. Like, I like this because, like, again, I like you, I recognize a lot of songs from my youth.
Yeah.
But I was never... Like, I got into music around the time of Backstreet Boys and Hanson.
Correct.
And Spice Girls. So that's sort of like my jam.
Usually, like, you know, year 6 to 7 is when you start to become, like, obsessed with, like, stuff.
Yeah. And this was before that for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think you really have to be in your late 30s to 40s to really vibe with this. I like it because the style just reminds me of like the TV shows and the stuff that we used to watch when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I wasn't listening to Salt and Pepper when I was 4, let's be real.
No. And I mean, I was a little bit older, but still.
Yeah.
And like, you know, don't get me wrong, I know a lot of their songs that I learnt as I got older anyway. And I still have a lot of them on my playlist.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it, but I also do think it's quite interesting how these sort of collaborations with these bands that are, you know, we're going back.
Mm-hmm.
The demographic of who you're selling it to is getting older and older and older, and I just think it's interesting. I want to see the numbers.
The
numbers of like how many units were sold and who was buying it. Like that, to me, that would be fascinating.
I could actually see a lot of teenagers and people in their 20s buying this for their mums. Because we live in Australia, so Milani's not readily accessible to us.
It's not even available here.
So I feel like I don't see who's stalking the stands.
No.
So I don't know the demographic, but I feel like because it's a fairly affordable brand, I sort of associate it more with younger, like students and
buying
whatnot.
It for Mother's Day and
stuff. Yeah, but this, I can imagine people buying this for their mums.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm.
All right, Linda Hallberg released a brand new product. It's called the Interstellar, and it's essentially like a liquid eyeshadow. It looks really, really beautiful. It looks like it's got a clear base with this sort of soft gold, really fine sparkle that you can either build up and make it a little bit more metallic, or you can diffuse it for like that twinkly effect. She has shown mixing it with products to put on the face. But yeah, it's a new product from her. A lot of people have been saying really great things about it. It's been top selling products in places like Beauty Bay and whatnot. So yeah, she makes it look good.
Yeah.
But that came out this month. Another collaboration.
Yeah.
Bretman Rock released a collection with Wet n Wild Beauty. So this is the Jungle Rock collection. It contained a bunch of stuff. There was a palette, a mascara, lip glosses, brushes, and
highlighter that was like dual-sided.
So, I don't know how this sold. I'm curious. I want the stats on all this stuff. I don't know why.
So do I. I don't even want the makeup. I want the stats.
I want the stats.
Yeah.
Don't send me the PR.
Send me the stats.
Send me the stats.
Hey, ladies. Hope you're having a nice week. Just sending through the stats of the Bretman Rock Jungle Rock collection. Honey girl, we sold so many of those highlighters.
Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Hello, Wet n Wild, are you listening?
Yeah, but so that's a collection that a few people...
Email us at Beauty News Official.
Yes. Just give us the stats.
Exactly. All right, Millennial Pinks. This was a collection that came from Melt Cosmetics.
Yep.
It was their, like, Valentine's Day collection. So it consisted of 2 metallic liners, 4... glittery lip glosses,
which is a new formula for them,
and then a palette that was like basically pink and gray. Again, I would like the stats on this one. I reckon that palette would have sold really well. I did see some people playing with those metallic liners.
Yep.
I wouldn't even risk it for the biscuit, to be fair. I wouldn't go there. Scared me. I was like, nope.
All right. I'll have a look if they sold out. Hang on. All right. Interesting.
Wow. So interesting.
Usually melt collections sell out pretty quickly. I do think, to be fair, that since they are stocked in Sephora, they've been making more stock. Because, fair. Like, yep. Their holiday collection, I don't think, sold out. And that was probably the most raved about collection.
The Eterno collection.
So the Modern Love collection, the palette's still in stock. The two pinky nude lip glosses are in stock.
The grey and the black is sold out.
But I wonder, did they, like, understock that?
They must have. They absolutely must have.
Because the two surely they shimmery would know. Eye things are still in stock.
Surely
as well.
They would know that a black and straight up silver glitter lip gloss are not going to be the most popular. Like, it takes a certain type of person to want to buy that.
Yeah.
And
especially at $24.55 Australian dollars.
Yeah. So I would assume that they would just naturally make,
like, a tenth.
Yeah. Less of them and then have more of the, like, the nudie, really wearable colors. So if someone's like, well, I want to try the new formula, but they've only got it in black and I'm never going to wear that.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to turn someone away from purchasing it. But if you have it in, like, a nude or a pink, people are going to go, I like nude lip gloss. I'm curious about this formula.
I'll justify the purchase.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's interesting.
To see that a lot of it didn't sell out. Like, this did have mixed reviews or mixed feedback. I didn't actually watch many reviews, but a lot of people were, there's probably two parties. People were either like, I love this strange combination of pink and grey, cool tones suit me, this is totally my jam. Or there's other people that are just like, I don't get it. Interesting. There you go. I want the stats for that as well. Thank you,
yes,
Melt.
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right, the last things we're going to talk about are from Urban Decay. Firstly, we saw the Wired collection. So they brought back neons. They discontinued their
electric
palette that everyone raved about. But I do think that was at a time where colours just wasn't a big thing.
Yeah.
Because that was out years ago.
Yeah.
And that was before people were like, yes, I want to wear neon yellow to work. Whereas some people do that these days. So they discontinued that palette and now they're like, shit, we need to bring out something else because
people now, want is it back.
Now is the time. So the palette has 10 shades and they split between face, body and eye and face and body. So this is just a way to say that four of the shades are not technically eye safe in the US. But, you know, that use at your own risk. They also brought out some lip products and also these strange double-ended wired eyeliner top coat thing. So one end has a black liner and the other end has a sort of loose pigment that is an iridescent white that shifts a color. So once you put it over the liner, it turns that liner to a... It's like putting an iridescent... color-changing eyeshadow over a liner.
Yes.
It is what it is.
Exactly.
We've seen this before, but not in this sort of double-ended sort of thing. But, yeah, I don't know. How are people responding to this collection?
I was just looking because I remember seeing something from Temptalia where she played with the palette and she was like, okay. She compared it to the original and she was like, it's not better. So what was the point? So this was the Electric from 2014.
Yeah.
And this is the Wired from 2020.
Yeah, it's not as good.
And it just looks shit.
Well, it doesn't look shit, but it compared to it, like the blue is nowhere near as vibrant.
And she was saying like it just does not stick. So she says... Even with primer, my wide look was rough. I tried fixing it. She was missing like everything in her crease area, but she just couldn't get it to stick and her bare skin was showing through the whole time.
Interesting. So, it sounds like they've downgraded.
Yeah.
Do you know what's interesting though? I've seen a few good reviews on this,
mm.
but it's like they've been reaching out to a lot of people for reviews. So I feel like what Urban Decay has done this time around is reach out to the sort of Instagrammers and YouTubers that do really colourful looks and put them on the PR list for the first time, which naturally is quite flattering if you're receiving PR from yep. Urban Decay.
Everything is nicer when it's free.
True. And so all of a sudden I've been seeing good reviews, but when you watch them, you're like, does not compute.
Mm.
What I'm more interested in is they've released new brow products. Mm. So they've added a couple of brow products to their range, and they've extended some shade ranges from another brow blade thing that they've had before. But they've got the inked brow. Now, this is sort of like a pomade. No, it's like a liquid liner for your brows. And it's supposed to last, was it 60 hours?
Yes.
Yeah, 60 hours wear. Which is really interesting. I don't know how that's going to work, but I haven't seen something like this. I'm curious about it. I don't want to buy it because I'm like, I probably won't use it too often, but it is different.
Yeah.
They also brought out a new brow pencil. So there we go.
There we go. Right. That's the recap. That's it is. That's 12, the wrap. The 10, 12 items that we wanted to talk about this month.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was actually a short month.
Yeah, it was a short month. No, it was longer than usual. I know. It was a leap year.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But
new decade. And yes, folks, it is a new decade. The new decade does not start on 2021.
Whoever's
been telling you that is
wrong.
Silly.
Yes. Yeah. Because I love it how they're like, if you count to 10, you don't include zero. But the thing is that if you do include zero, you stop at 9, which is the 10. And that's what a decade in years are. Whether you count the 1 to 10 or the 0 to 9, still 10 fucking numbers. Still a decade, you dickhead.
I had a lot of people mention this to me in like the space of a week. And this mostly happened in January. We're a bit behind. But the first time someone mentioned it, I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I was told blah blah, and I'm like, whoever told you that is a fucking moron and you should not listen to them.
I understand the logic behind it, but it's false logic. It's correct. Logic applied badly.
It is. Don't listen to fucking idiots, all right?
Yeah, don't get all your fucking information from Facebook.
No.
That's all I have to say.
I know, right?
Because that's where I saw it all. So many people sharing it on Facebook. And I'm like, just think.
Is that where they were getting it from? I never saw it on Facebook. Thanks, no, that's where fuck. That's where I would have been like, that, report.
That and chemtrails. Yeah.
All right, guys. Stay off Facebook. And we'll see you in the next one.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.